entertainment sprat that died in Father Gray. The Snack Teddies. Revolutionary podcast and sports entertainment. It's Brad, the Dad, and Father Greg, the Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for the Huge Pop Pub. I am Brad, the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg, Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
Hello, friend.
Hello, it is a fall is in the air, Brad. I think we said on the a few weeks ago, you know, hot girl summer is long over now, and we are solidly fat boy fall, and I'm loving it, except for almost slipping and falling on my deck one morning this week while I took the dog outside to do her business to start the day. So
yeah,
here's the big question. Do you have your winter tire appointment set up? I you probably don't have it on yet. You do. Okay. I did the same yesterday. I booked mine.
Yeah. It's tough to get in because they are busy at a lot of the spots here in Halifax.
Yeah. I got mine all straightened in the week after next, and I've got three cars going in, getting done all at the same time or within a day of each other. So I don't have to worry too much about it. Drop one off and pick it up the end of the day.
So I'm November 6th.
Oh, no. I got mine October 30th, 31st, and the 1st of November or something.
Yeah, I went with November 6th. It probably might be a little bit too late for snow, but, and people here are like, what's wrong with you Canadians? It's like, yeah, well, I mean, it is normal. Right. At least it was normal at a certain point to have your Halloween costume built in such a way that you could put snow pants and winter clothing underneath it.
Oh, 100%. And you know what's really funny? We talk about this, and I look ahead at the forecast, and like Monday is 20 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, right? It's our weather's wonky. This is why hurricanes were such a shock to Maritimers and to Atlantic Canadians, was because it was always so hot here that we never, or cold, that we never had to worry about that foolishness.
Yeah. It's fair this year so far, and hopefully it stays that way. I mean, it's unfortunate what we're seeing down there in the southern, you know, southern states and stuff between Florida and Georgia and into North Carolina, like the devastation from the last couple of hurricanes has been, you know, hard to watch, and hopefully people are rebuilding and, you know, taking care of what needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, it's not really it's one of those things where you just go gross.
Yeah, for sure.
And thoughts and prayers for the people who are dealing with that devastation. It's always there. And by the way, if you're hearing random background noises, my family's awake and my daughter is louder than her father, which is really impressive.
That is impressive. Impressive. I was outside this morning and talking to the neighbor who are preparing to get a chain link fence installed this week. So they are demolishing their old fence. So if you hear sawing, hacking, or cursing, that is probably them.
Yeah. My brother's actually just finished his fence up in New Brunswick. He has a house in Sussex that he's selling. So If you're in Sussex, New Brunswick, and are looking for a home, I may have a contact for you.
Excellent. Place and, I don't want to live.
Yeah, no, me neither. But we have to go get, Fat Boy Fall means that we have to get the leaves up at some point, and I'm not looking forward to that either. Although I am going to try something new this year, Greg. I have my backyard. What's that?
Oh, you mean like cleaning up the leaves that have fallen in your yard?
Yes. So I'm going to try something very new. So I have a flat backyard, and then I have a bit of a cliff where there's some shrubbery, and then I have another upper area, which I usually whip with a whippersnapper, but I think I might drag my mower. It's not very heavy up there, and it's angled, but it's flattish. I might try the vacuum technique where I put the bag on the back and try and vacuum up those leaves.
Interesting. I mean, you could also try to mulch them.
Yeah, well, up there, I definitely could. I don't like mulching my lawn because my pH is off because I'm at the bottom of a hill. So I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. I've given up a long time ago of having actual grass in my backyard. I plant clover and it's green and I'm happy.
Very good. Very good.
What's the point of growing grass? Like, I don't have the patience for it. And I also don't have the desire to be like I'm on a bad episode of King of the Hill going, oh, look how great my grass has turned out, boys.
Sounds like you may need some propane and propane related accessories.
Greg with the references. I love it. Greg, did you notice that we are the next PLE for WWE not only is for the big title, it's like middle of the afternoon. It is old man PLE special.
Oh, I love that. What it's is like, that?
Like November 2nd, and it starts at like 3 o'clock our time.
See, that's speaking my language of love, right?
Yeah, because you can go, you can have something in the smoker. You can have it smoking. You can smoke while watching it on your iPad outside. I know how you operate.
You know, there's a distinct possibility I might do something like that. and see, it's a little dependent on the weather, though, right? I mean, we're looking at that point is, you know, is it raining out? Are you getting that? If it's a nice fall day, then yeah, I could certainly do something like that. If it's a crappy fall day, then, you know, maybe not so much.
Well, then you're cooking it in the oven and it's a slow cook and you're waiting for, you know, you tell the wife supper's at 7. We got to record a podcast at 6. You know, that doesn't or we have supper and then we come and record a podcast. So we're less grumpy.
You know, we could do any of the things. We'll have to take the I mean, there are men who are older than us that may want to take the early show. So, you know, we'll have to figure all that out.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah. And the hope for the huge pop up is the next couple of PLEs. We'll do some coverage on these kind of early ones. And then, of course, Saturday night's main event, which is coming up. And all I want, Greg, putting this out there into the universe right now, I want those 30-second promos, the classic Saturday night's main event promos.
That and the music, like, you've got to give me that intro, right?
And I would love I'd like the old style green screen with the background, kind of like your screen right now, where you have our logo in the background and it's like, and you're cutting your promo.
Yeah. Yeah. Distinct possibility. You never know.
Go with the retro.
Go with the retro. Yeah. Retro is always good.
That's a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start this. Okay. So
you're getting him to talk about the show.
I don't want to talk about this show. Let's go through this pretty quickly, because this show, unless we're ripping on it, this was not a good SmackDown. Like, we've had really good SmackDowns. This SmackDown was the most skippable SmackDown in a while.
Yeah. So let me bare my soul to the audience who are listening this morning.
The dozens and dozens.
Yeah, I was out last night. I didn't get home till basically when SmackDown went off the air. I was in a position where nothing was spoiled for me or anything like that. Besides getting a text from Burkhead at one point that I don't even know if I read. I can't remember if I read or not. The long and the short of it is I didn't start SmackDown until maybe 30 minutes after the show went off the air, and watched it in bed on my iPad. And oh boy, that fast forward button, Brad, it got smashed last night. I'm lucky that iPad is still working this morning.
Yeah, I'm messaging Burkhead back because he's sending us the, hey, SmackDown's going to 3 hours.
There's been no credible source that has actually said that.
No, and I want shorter shows. You know what? Actually, what I want, tell you exactly what I want. I want shows that are scheduled for 2 hours-ish. And on a week where they have like bullshit like this, give me an hour and 45 minutes. And then on a week when you have something productive to do, you can go a little longer. I don't mind. But I don't want 3 hours and have all the filler I got on this episode.
Yeah, this was definitely a filler show.
Well, we start with the ridiculous, god-awful, gaudy title, the oh my gosh, I'm let's fight for the title that is covered, soaked in blood diamonds, because there's no way those are ethically sourced diamonds.
Yeah, this thing is god awful, right?
It is. Well, and again, as we said last week, there is no stakes. The stakes are bragging rights.
Yeah, I mean, wait, didn't we have a pay-per-view like that?
Yes, where and it replaced the Survivor Series. Again, you get some sort of, you get to draft somebody off your show. You get a month off from defending your title. Like, give me something.
Yeah, I want something out of this, because it really, I'm scared.
$100,000. Like, that's a believable thing. The winner gets $100,000.
Yeah, I want something here, but I'm really nervous to watch this show. Like, I don't, there's no real pull to it.
Okay, so we start with recap one. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire from the PLE to the beatdown on SmackDown. And then recap number two. Because this went on so long that we got highlights from Raw as well. Why?
I'm amazed that it was actually as short as it was.
Mm.
They were going to go back 3 years.
So Corey Graves is on SmackDown this week. Is he the most versatile commentator this company has?
I don't think so, because I think that is Michael Cole.
But Michael Cole doesn't do color very well. Like, Graves goes from lead to color in a drop of a hat.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess he knows his role.
Yeah, which is to be the future Michael Cole and a very happy man, because Carmella, the end.
Again, that's fair.
Very fair. And you notice how Carmella has not come back, which tells me that Corey Graves is making some bank.
So I guess you also heard about what happened in the UK this week.
Oh, go do tell.
Not to spoil things for you, but there was a tag match later in the show tonight. And one of the participants was sick.
Yep.
In reality, they were in Europe.
Oh.
They're over in Europe on the WWE tour. I'm assuming that they stayed over something. But Miss Stratton was proposed to by a fan over at a show, I believe, in the UK.
Yeah.
Which she replied that she has a boyfriend and flatly turned down this fan's proposal to her.
So why did Sean Burkett fly all the way to the UK to do this?
Listen, I don't know if it's him. I doubt it. I mean, there are some other compatriots in the UK who may very well have, you know, tried to beat him to the punch. I don't know. I'm just speculating at this point.
Again, Sean Burkett, if you're flying all the way to the UK to propose, like, at least make it a good one that she says yes.
I'm not trying to stir the pot there.
I like how we're like diverging from this. So Solo is out. He wants people to acknowledge him. The crowd, nuclear heat. Solo presents that he's the future, Roman's the past, and he wants Roman to acknowledge him. And if not, the beatings will continue until you acknowledge me.
Until morale improves?
Yeah. No, until you, yeah, and the beatings will continue until morale improves, which basically means the bloodline is going to beat you down until you say, hey, join us.
It's funny, I actually used to have that sign on my desk at work.
I have a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah.
My wife used to joke that was the in-service day t-shirt she would borrow.
That's actually.
He wants to unite the family, but out comes Jay visiting us from Raw. The crowd again loses its mind. They're dancing, and he doesn't have any problems with him. He's got real beef with Roman, and yeah, like, I hear you trying to say you're trying to unite the family, but you're not. Are we more united? And then the whole time Jay's calling him little brother, And he says, don't call me little brother. Call me your tribal chief. And you have to acknowledge me. And he just walks away and says, you know what? The next time I see you, things are going to be very different. What was the point of this?
So if I'm being 100% honest.
You skipped nine. You just went boop, boop, boop and skipped through a bunch of this.
Oh, I watched this. I still am not getting. I'm not getting the Usos. Like, I don't understand why everyone is losing their damn mind when, you know, just, is it to be able to chant the word yeet? Like, is that what's getting him? I don't understand why.
His theme song is catchy, dude.
Yeah, maybe.
And if we learned anything from the video that I made put on our socials this week, white boys like to dance.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And I could just, hey, listen, okay, Greg, don't lie to me. If that song started playing, you and I would both be in the crowd going.
No.
Well, I would, and you'd be staring, and you'd be doing that to the face you just made now. Like, what the hell's wrong with you, white boy? It's like,
I was gonna say, are you spending 30 minutes doing it randomly on a stage or walking around in circles for 30 minutes? Or, oh, wait, that's a different podcast.
It's a different podcast. I have the music playing in my head all the time. Every once in a while, I'll have the Uso song, I'll just put it on my little speaker, walk around the house, and just go.
Are you yelling yeet and no yeet to your family?
Oh, I should start doing that. Okay, I will do that and I will report back. My wife will ask me a question on, I'll go, no yeet. And she'll be like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. That actually would be a fun social experiment. Like, for a day, the only answer you can, the only words that can come out of your mouth are yeet and no yeet.
Well, okay, you can answer, you say other things, but I think answering the questions, and when somebody ever asks you a question, you say yeet or no yeet. Like, do you want some bacon with that? Yeet. Do you want some more vegetables? No yeet.
Okay. Off topic.
This whole podcast is off topic at this point.
Okay. You watch John Oliver.
Yes.
Okay. Did you see this week's episode?
No, I did not. What happened?
Okay. Forget the election stuff. The first of the show where they do a thing about Waffle House during hurricanes. you will lose your mind. So if you're listening to this live, just stop. Search up John Oliver from this past Sunday, so a week ago. And watch the Waffle House segment because my God, I'm so mesmerized.
Link in the description of the podcast. Greg's got some work to do for the write up. Okay, let's continue this. So, at the end of the day, this segment was just there to remind us that Jimmy wasn't planning to get in this fight, but at some point, they're going to have to find a way to bring him into this fight because they need the OG bloodline versus the new bloodline, and I guess this was so that they could have somebody else other than Roman and Jimmy interacting with the bloodline.
I guess so.
All right. We're going to move on to match number.
Is it just me that's sick of this?
I think it is. This was fine. It just.
Like.
Yeah, there's just. It's a lot of filler. It's a lot of filler on this show.
And we all know where it's going, right?
Yes, it's going to them. This has got to lead to a match or else this is all pointless.
This is War Games in Vancouver. This is Roman, Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy versus the new bloodline.
Old bloodline
at Survivor Series War Games in a War Games match. Like, that's... So, I mean, I know we're going to get there. I know we've got to wait. And the end of November is... gonna take its time to get to us, but that's where this is going, right?
Yeah, and the only question I have is what do you do with the bloodline for Crown Jewel? Because they gotta be something for them. And then the second one.
I don't know if they will.
Ooh. Okay, Greg. Hot take.
Right now is a two-person show or a two-match show.
There's got to be something. Well, there's going to be a tag title match, probably.
Well, as of right now, it's two matches.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing else announced. And it's all four of the champions are booked up.
Right. So, I mean, we'll probably get another bad Damian Priest match.
Yeah. And let's see. And the tag champs, none of them will be on the show. That's the disappointment for me. They should have just gone with this with the whole way through. You could have had the US champ versus the IC champ. You could have had the tag title champs, but I guess they couldn't afford to make all those belts.
That's a very, very fair point. Like, sweet Lord, how much is it going to cost them?
You do the two champs for the main titles and everybody else gets trophies.
Okay. One thing we didn't cover off the top, was it off the top? But when they're bringing in the...
Oh, no, I mentioned it. We made fun of the title for like a minute.
Okay. But like, I mentioned there during that section, the guys who are holding the case that this god-awful belt comes in are wearing white gloves. Like, can I get the, you know, when you're holding the Stanley Cup, the keeper of the cup, you know, is wearing the gloves and stuff like that, the white gloves. But it's a road case. Why are you wearing white gloves to handle a road case as this stupid belt in it?
Well, because eventually they have to open up the case and put it in the center of the ring for Cody to talk about.
Sure, but that's later. Like, that's when you put on, it's when you handle the damn thing.
Yeah, the segment should have been them putting the white gloves on and taking the title to the out in the ring while they're setting up that segment. Yeah. The talking stuff in this show was just like filler, but the matches in the show were actually quite good.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
So our first match is DIY versus the Street Profits versus Pretty Deadly. These are three teams who could go, and I was actually surprised with the outcome of this match.
So was I. It was very different.
It was a very smart match. So Pretty Deadly is on the outside because they don't want to get involved. Eventually, they try to sneak attack. Ciampa just flattens one. And then we get a bunch of high-flying dives to the outside. We come back and Pretty Deadly is double teaming. The match eventually breaks down. And with Pretty Deadly with the advantage, we start getting finishing moves. We get a blockbuster on one of the members of Pretty Deadly from the Street Profits. And then DIY hits Meet in the Middle. And there's two simultaneous pins. 1, 2, 3. And Jessica Carr immediately says DIY pinned the right opponent. I thought we were getting both of these teams advancing, but for the first time, instead of doing this cheesy double pin and having both teams go through, DIY gets rewarded for remembering who the legal man was.
Yeah.
Greg? Right.
Here's the only part that I didn't love is that the ring announcer, who I don't even remember who was last night. It wasn't Samantha Irvin. It was the other one.
Yeah.
The lady from NXT. But like Jessica Carr told her that DIY pinned the right guy, that this was the legal man, and that wasn't in the announcement, right? So like if you're there live, you're not picking that up.
Yeah, they needed to. So we say the referee has said that the double pin did take place. However, DIY pinned the correct opponent, which means advancing in this qualifier is DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano.
So here's the part that makes me kind of scratch my head. And I don't know if this is me nitpicking or this is what, but all of these three-man tags to create two number one contenders to then have a number one contenders match to then figure out who is going to challenge for the championship. It just, to me, is screaming AEW tournaments.
Let's get all the tag teams on.
Right. But here's the thing. Last week, going into the show, we had the segment in the back with Nick Aldis and with Legato.
Yeah.
And Nick, like, don't you worry. I've got you straightened out. I know what we're going to do with you next week. And we were like, okay, cool. It's Motor City Machine Guns. Come out. They're going to, you know, have a feud with Legado del Fantasma. Okay, that's how we're going to get them introduced. Where the hell did these 2 6-man tag matches come from?
I think it was, we need to get all the teams on. Or the other thing was, they do the triple threats in this round and do the singles in the next round. It would have made, or they did it this way because they didn't have enough time for 3 matches. Although I would argue you could cut a bunch of stuff from the show, and it would have been much more compelling to have DIY be Pretty Deadly, Street Profits beat not Legato, A-Town Down Under, and then have the Legato lose to Motor City Machine Guns, and then you set up your 3-way with all 6 of those guys, because that would be a way better match. And then it continues. You could spin off DIY and the Street Profits, because obviously Motor City is going to try for the tag titles, and you could then spin off the DIY and Street Profits screw each other out again, and they can fight, have a little side feud.
Maybe. I'm starting to get sick of these, you know.
Can we get everybody on the show?
Connect the dots matches.
Yeah, it's, I gotta say, the wrestling's good. The storytelling on the show is not. And that is the story of this episode of SmackDown. The wrestling was excellent, but some of the stuff is like, does this really make sense?
Yeah, I don't know where this is coming from. That's, I think, where the problem is.
Anyways, I like the outcome of this, and we'll get to the other half of this match later on, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out where this is going. Okay. Recap. Number 3. The interference in the back last week and everything breaking down. And this leads to, and the craziness that was the Naomi somehow winning and beating the match, setting up for that crown jewel title. So we're supposed to be getting Bayley and Naomi, and they tease this. And then we go to commercial. Back from commercial, we have a new Travis Scott song playing, apparently, in the car, which we're assuming Roman Reigns and Travis Scott are tight, because Roman and Jimmy roll up in their car, and they happen to run into who, Greg?
I honestly don't remember at this point.
Jay Uso. And Jay is the, and Roman says he's proud of Jay, but Jay walks away and says no yeet. Continuing our yeet and no yeet is the only way that human beings can say yes and no. Yeah. Greg has no comments on that. Tiffany is sick. So Nick calls the back. Tiffany's sick. So Nia needs a new partner. And in walks Candice LeRae is going to be a partner. And the best part about this whole thing was Nia looking at her and said, you better hold up your end.
Hold on. This is where I really am starting to struggle with WWE and their storytelling. Because Nick Aldis goes on a rant here and says how WWE, their roster is so deep, and you can find, you know, go to the back and find someone who is going to be your tag team partner, right? And that's fine and good. But then, and I think it's the next match. Is the next match the Lash Legend match?
Yep. Piper Niven Lash.
Right. Okay. So then we get Lash Legend is the next thing you see in the ring. I'm like, she's not on their roster. Why is she on TV 2 weeks in a row if she's not on their roster, but the roster is so deep? Like, this is not computing in Greg's head. Why do we have the Facebook 4 going up on that?
Metaphor. Yeah. No, it's the reason is because they're letting these girls get some time on them there, because, you know, as Sean Burkhead would say right now, I can hear him in my head, when they expand to 2 hours, they're gonna need to bring up a bunch of people from 3 hours. They're gonna need to bring a bunch of NXT wrestlers.
No, they don't. That's one, it's not happening, and two, there's a process for this. It's called the draft. You bring them up in the draft, not randomly just have them show up 2 weeks in a row.
It made sense when they were going for the tag titles, but it doesn't make sense when they're just showing up. This match was fast though and pretty good. Piper and Lash had a really good match. The real story of this match is that Piper is incredible in the ring, and Lash is way stronger than anybody thought she was. When she gets her up for the Samoan drop and then loses her, I was like, oh, she's not that strong. But she finishes her by wrapping her around her back and draw and like literally one leg around one arm, head around the other arm, and spinning it into like a face buster. Side, like underneath your head, face buster bulldog kind of thing. Boy, it was great. This match was fun. But yeah, it was a showcase. They really think these two young ladies are going to be something special at some point. And I guess the thought is, well, we need some tag teams, Greg. And this is one of the five tag teams, women's tag teams in all of WWE.
And sure, that's fair. But I mean, if that's the case, bring them up. Or make it so that the women's tag teams can go in. Right? Yeah. Like, that's the rule, and that's fine. But then you don't get a one-on-one match. Like, I understand bringing up Lash Legend, giving her some time on SmackDown. But that's something you do in a dark match to start the show or end the show, right? You get them some, and I know all that stuff is recorded, but like that's where you use that.
Yeah, it is one of those questions. If they had a tag match, it would have been better with Chelsea, because at least that makes sense, because we're trying to figure out the next contender, and here's a tag match with these four women.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so. Roman's in the back with Jimmy. Roman, I like how Jimmy tries to be the wise man and it freaks Roman out. And Roman said that he's going to fix this tonight. Jimmy wonders how he's going to do that. And he said he's going to acknowledge, he's going to end up acknowledging the new tribal chief Solo. As the bloodline turns.
They are making me question why I watch this show every single week.
Craig, you know what the thing is? If you take out the story parts of this show and just watch the matches, this was a great SmackDown. It is the story bits that it's like we didn't... You could have put two more matches in there and this would have been a way better show.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Give me five more minutes of Piper and Lash would have been way better, more beneficial than that angle. Oh, Cody and Gunther meeting Tom Aspen in the UK on a house show was our next recap.
And I did exactly what that sounded.
Dude. Well, so did I, because I saw this on social media this week. Cody's out, cuts a crown jewel promo. He wants to climb to the top of the mountain. He wants to build a legacy for his daughter by being the first ever Crown Jewel champion. And next week, he wants Gunther to face him one-on-one in this ring. Not for a match, for a face-off, Greg.
Yeah. So, Brad, what do you think of this segment? 100%.
I took the notes, so you're welcome, because I sat through it.
Here's the thing. Why do I need a 15-minute Cody Rhodes monologue in the middle of this show? Why? And seriously, why? What is it doing? Is it building up Saudi Arabia? No. Am I more interested to watch Saudi Arabia for a Cody Rhodes monologue?
No. Could we have had Cody Rhodes come out in his suit, talk for 30 seconds, have some smart ass come out and have him drop them, and then that would have been cool. Yes, that would have been way much, much better.
I mean, and I know you can't go back to the well, but like they did an amazing thing with Cody and Roman at Georgia Tech's football stadium, right? Like there are ways that you can do some of this stuff. Maybe it's a sit down interview in the back with Michael Cole, you know, harkening back to like some of those JR interviews that they used to do back in the day. Maybe it's something, but a Cody Rhodes segment in the middle of the ring, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
Well, and then the only good stuff, we got recap I don't know. I think I'm at six now. Hidden footage showing the bus attack, which now we've all seen. And I say hidden footage in air quotes, fan footage. And then recap number seven. We see the attack on Randy. And then we get the Kevin Owens promo. So he's feeling disrespected. This is completely unfair. Terrible things have happened in WWE parking lots. That's a very fair point. And he gets punished for something. And instead of giving the opportunity to talk about how he feels and his stuff, so he doesn't know. He never would have turned on Randy, but Randy turned on him. God, this was only this was like 60 seconds, and it was so much better than all the other backstage stuff.
So this is when you really start to wonder, like, why is WWE not taking better care of their peeps and their security in their parking lots?
And why is Kevin Owens being singled out for this? This is fat Canadian discrimination. And not that he's fat, but he is round like us. And this is round Canadian discrimination.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
It was very terrible. And then Randy Orton makes the most sense. I want to wrestle Kevin Owens at Crown Jewel. Well, I can't make that match. Why can't you make that match, Nick Aldis? Well, the call is above my head. Well, I know who to go talk to. So we're going to have Randy Orton go bug Triple H to get this match. Like, seriously, he's on speed dial with Triple H. Are you telling me that he can't just call him and say, hey, Trips, I want to get a big payday. And my buddy Kevin wants a big payday, too. We're going to Saudi.
This is what doesn't make sense to me, right? If GM is the authority figure, if Nick Aldis is the authority figure, there is no one above him.
But I think what's going to come out in this, honestly, is that Triple H, Cody is a Triple H guy. Randy's a Triple H guy, and that's why Kevin got suspended. And that it is going to be a little bit of company bias.
Boy, I tell you, I don't know.
This is the most interesting storyline on SmackDown that has to take a divergence because we absolutely must, Greg. We must decide a first ever Crown Jewel champion. I'm just pissing Greg off now. Okay. Again, another great match coming up. Your next six wrestlers in the ring, Eight Town Down Under versus Los Garzas versus the Motor City Machine Gun. Winner gets to move on in the tag title tournament brought to you, sponsored by AEW. Greg, you know, we got a name for this now. I do. I have a name for this. You ready?
All right. What is it?
This is the Tony Khan Appreciation Tournament. Okay. So go. Greg's like, I'm done. That's in. Podcast over.
The TCAT, the Tony Khan Appreciation Tournament.
The TCAT. Yeah, there we go. Oh, you just made it great. Maybe that's really, I'm sure you have a name for this episode by now, but that would be the funniest name. The Tony Khan, definitely in the description today. We talk about the Tony Khan Appreciation Tournament. the TCAT. Oh, that's great.
This episode, but TCAT seems to be about where we're living.
All right. We're way sillier in the morning. Meds have not kicked in. Motor City Machine Guns get attacked, and it's double team offense by them. They have a lot of cool combo moves, including that spinning DDT, Greg. It was great.
So here's what really pisses me off with WWE. They've got such a, what's the word to use here? A machinery behind them. And mm-hmm. I was using the word machine with machine guns. There's a couple of things. I was not a TNA guy.
Yep.
Not a New Japan guy. Okay. I don't know who the hell these people are, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I've never seen these guys wrestle. I'll be 100% transparent here. One, what the hell a name is Motor City Machine Guns? A Motor City, yeah, they're from Detroit. Where the frig is the machine gun part of this?
Oh, I can explain that.
I went to Wiki and they still don't have a friggin' clue.
It's because their offense originally, they described them to be like a machine gun. So that it's so rapid and fast that it's like a barrage. So that hence the name machine guns.
I don't know. And give me something. Give me some, like, I hate what they did to, and I'm going to use the word Barry.
Yeah.
So it could be on even cheap.
Yeah.
Who came back. I mean, he had 2 or 3 weeks of a lead up. You know, who he might be or what he might be. But these guys were just dropped on your head and like, here, these guys are new. Do you know what? These guys are new and flippy and they can do lots of cool stuff. This sounds an awful lot like a company that I would watch on a Wednesday night.
So, Greg, here, I'll give you a simple thing they could have done. And they have the resources. Guys, hey, TNA, can you give me the best 10 clips from Motor City Machine Guns that we can like do a highlight package? And even if you don't put it on the show, put it on the socials.
No, it's got to be on the show. It's got to be on the show. If you're someone new, okay, let's say, right? I mean, let's say that they bring over, I don't know, they bring
the Young Bucks,
right? Okay, Young Bucks have never been in WWE, right? I don't believe so.
Nope.
I don't think they've done any
never.
Right? They would you drop them first day and say, here, go have fun? That's essentially what they did here.
Yeah, and their theme song was great, but Put Your Fist Up is not, they do this one, Greg. They do the thing with their palms and their fingers in their hand. Like, I get it. It's,
oh, we were going somewhere entirely different when that broke out.
Okay. They have, like, they're a great tag team. They have stuff. Like, just, and I mean, the line on commentary that really helped them was, they are your tag team's favorite tag team. And the other thing they did do a good job. I will give Corey Graves and Wade Barrett credit for saying, you're going to see things these guys do that other teams have emulated, but they do it better. And like just little comments like that. And they can get themselves over by wrestling, but they're both also very good promos. So like, highlight the fact that these guys have signed. Show that clip on social media earlier where the Motor City Machine Guns have arrived in WWE.
Yeah, it can't be social media though. That's the problem, right?
But
as a viewer, I should be able to understand and be introduced to something and know something from watching the product, not from having to go out and look for it. So I don't agree with the social media part. I think the social media part can complement it. I think that, but you need to introduce it on your TV, on your product, on your, what I'm supposed to be watching you on. Same thing with Raw. In my mind, and people shit on me for it, SmackDown, Raw, NXT are three separate entities. And I as a viewer, don't watch Raw. I, as a viewer, typically don't watch NXT. I mean, if I'm screwed around and, you know, have a few free minutes and it's on TV, maybe I'll throw it on. But
or
I
should if you're,
jump in.
Right. Or if like somebody, you're in one of our group chats and somebody says, hey, Greg, did you watch that match? No, but I'll check it out. Like there's good stuff on all those shows, but you should be able to scan through this. And yeah, no, Greg, this is a very good point. You should be introduced to the characters beforehand. And the Motor City Machine Guns, it would have been super easy for them to do, to do a segment where they introduced them. Heck, the thing they put on socials, they could have thrown away one of the other segments in this night and made sure those 5 minutes say, here are the machine guns. This is why you should be excited. Show them, do a couple of highlights, and then show them meeting Nick Aldis and shaking hands and saying, thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Aldis. Anyways, they showed off a bunch of cool stuff in this match. I think they sold a little bit too much. They hit their neck breaker splash combo finish. And next week, Greg, buckle your seatbelt. Because I have seen matches where Ciampa and Gargano and the Machine Guns have been involved. They give them 20 minutes and just let them go.
I hope so. I hope that this is going to be a good match next week.
And have the Street Profits screw over DIY and then spin off into a commercial, into a feud.
Maybe.
And you know what? I'm not looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to it a great deal. Whenever we record the podcast, I'm looking forward to Andrade versus Hayes. They jaw Jack in the back, and then it breaks into a fight. And Hayes takes Andrade's chain and punches him in the head with it. And this is all going to be worth it for next week for your nuclear meltdown about this match.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see.
Here's the worst part. This match will definitely be good. Like, this is in ring. This is going to be an excellent episode of SmackDown, between the fact that we're going to give Andrade and Hayes, who were done watching them wrestle each other. But if you told me that they were going to get 7 matches and they were going to spread them out from the 1st of January of 2024 to the 31st of January of 2024, I would have been really excited for that. We get one every 6 to 8 weeks. Would have been great.
However,
we're getting them. We're getting 7 matches in about three months.
Yeah.
And even adding LA Knight as the referee, I don't like what I know where this is going, Greg. This is going to lead to a triple threat match, and I don't want it. I don't want it.
This is going to lead to me drinking more.
The beatings will continue until morale improves. And you know what? I got a new slogan, Greg.
I was going to say, maybe that's the name of this episode.
No. The Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes matches will continue until morale improves.
You're killing me.
That's exactly what's happening. Okay, again, another great match. Naomi and Bayley versus Nia and Candice. Adding Candice to this mix is fun because she's an excellent wrestler.
So here's the honest to God truth.
You forgot who she was.
Oh, I forgot she was on the roster.
Yes, the speed champion who does not have a title belt to wear out.
Yeah.
Like, for Frank's sakes, if they're going to give these stupid speed titles out, at least let them wear the titles on television. And this is like an advertisement if she wears the title out. Hey, have you seen Speed? It's on X every week. 3 minutes of wrestling. And by the way, it's good wrestling. It's fun.
Is the Speed Champions belt covered in a whole bunch of Saudi diamonds?
No, that's why it's not on TV. There you go, Greg. You answered my question for me. Candice ends up getting dominated. Like, Nia's totally has all of the match taken care of. Candice gets tagged in the first time, and she just gets destroyed. Back from break, Naomi and Nia are both making hot tags. Candice gets in. Candice and Bayley have great, like, flippy stuff. Candice takes a nasty-looking sunset bomb into a corner. Candice barely gets anything going. Then there's Indy is outside. She throws Bayley into the ring post, rolls her back in, and Candice hits her, like, middle rope lion salt kind of moonsault thing and pins Bayley. Greg, I was shocked. Nia was shocked. Everybody was shocked. Was Greg shocked?
Greg was shocked because Greg thought that Candice LeRae was in this match to take a pin.
Candice LeRae won something on television, not on X. She won a match on television in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, that surprised the hell out of me.
And I hope they keep Candice on the roster forever because she is so good in the ring. She sells so well. And even after she's done in-ring, just send her to the performance center. Have her teach the next generation on how to bump and feed.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I know that she is very well-liked, so I don't know.
And do you also remember that her and Indy are a viable tag team that could be going for tag titles? Just saying.
Wait, do we have those?
Women's tag titles? Yeah, because we did have Jade and Bianca in the crowd a few times. Yeah, who, by the way, got the worst deal in this. It's like, hey, do you guys want to come hang out? Your husbands are both... one of them is married to a wrestler. Yeah, she's married to Ford. Apparently Jade just liked traveling. Maybe her daughter got to come with her. Maybe it was like a mommy-daughter trip. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
That would have been cute. That's what they should have done. They should have had if Jay's daughter could have come, she should have been sitting on her mom's lap in between those two ladies. That would have been cute. And also would have been great for the breakup later.
I don't know. Like you said that, all I could think of was like a Taylor Swift song coming up in my head.
A breakup.
Yeah. Hey,
next week, one of these things is going to be good, Greg. Only one. We're going to get Gunther and Cody staring lovingly into each other's eyes. We're going to get Melo and Andrade with LA Knight as a special guest referee, which was announced just before this. And they're best of seven. The match will be good. Don't know if I want it this soon. And Machine Guns versus DIY. Frankly, just give me 30 minutes of that with two commercial breaks. And that's it. The rest of it, give me 4 minutes of Cody and Gunther in the ring. And Melo and them can have a match, preferably a dark match. Wait, Andrade's the speed champion. Greg, let's have a 3-minute match.
I don't even know what to say. I don't know how I'm getting through next episode because you know you're not going to get that. Like, two segments.
The longer... Okay, I want you to make a prediction for next Friday's video.
Okay.
So, okay. Greg, is it going to be... Which match will be longer? Which will be longer? The three things that have been advertised. The Cody and Gunther talking. The DIY versus the Motor City Machine Guns match. Or the best of seven Melo versus Andrade match, which is going to be the long segment next week.
That's going to be the Melo and Andrade with LA Knight special guest referee.
I think the longest out of those three things might be the talking segment. There's the clip right there. Greg going, boy, you just like you're mad, Greg. And I feel bad that I'm ruining your day. No, I don't. Okay. And then I'm going to recap this because I have a 50-50 chance Greg actually watched this. Did you actually watch the segment?
Which one?
Our finale, which is As the Bloodline Turns.
I'm sorry. I forgot that that was the end of the show. Yes, I actually watched it because I didn't know if we were going to get all the Usos in the ring.
Hey, so the OTC chants, Roman says for the last time, acknowledge me, maybe for the last time. He Solos comes out ready to fight. There's the shenanigans and he says, you want to fix this? There's one way to fix this. You know how to fix this. Solo asks him to acknowledge him. Roman does acknowledge him. And Solo says, that's not good enough. I don't want you just to acknowledge me. I want you to acknowledge me as your tribal chief. The crowd's just like losing it. They're red hot for this. Roman snaps at Solo. And then Solo says, I knew you wouldn't change. I know you can't change. And they drag out the dead corpse of Jimmy Uso, who is like being drug out by the Tongans and Jacob. And he's dead and the fight's on. Roman starts fighting. He basically he wipes out the entire bloodline single-handedly and then is distracted by the Ulufala. He's in a trance as he holds it. Before he can put it around his neck, the bloodline rallies. They have Jimmy's laid out on the aisle. Roman eats like two Samoan spikes and the bloodline stands awkwardly over a dead Roman Reigns for the overrun. This sucker ran right to the top of the hour. And boy, like those guys are like, do we still have to stand here? Do we really? How many times do we have to pose? How long is this posing going on? And then the credits roll. We see our producers and the curtain drops on another episode of As the Bloodline Turns. Greg is, God dang, Greg.
Yeah, I don't know. All I was wanting to do was make jokes about the way they drug him out like a dead body.
Oh, it was a mafia hit. And this the thing is, I know that this is building to something good, and I want the War Games match. But I feel like we have okay. I've been binging Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball Super, the series that was out a few years ago. And thanks to you, by the way. And so as I've been watching this, yeah, you, because I have this, my cable provider added Dragon Ball to the package I'm getting currently. So I watched it. And there's certain episodes where you're like, there's a ton of clips in it. And you're like, oh, I see what you did here. This was a stretch the episode out. You're using old footage from old shows.
Yeah, it's very much like it, when you used to watch like shows like Friends, like the sitcoms back in the day. It was like a 24 episode season or 26 episode season. But like you knew two or three of those clip shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a clip show SmackDown.
Yeah. I get you.
They put in two or three really good matches, but all of the stuff in the middle was filler. And it wasn't like we used to pick, like, to be fair, we used to crap on Vince McMahon. Oh, sorry. He who should not be named, and his buddy Kevin, for doing this kind of foolishness where we would get like in a 2 hour SmackDown, we get like a half an hour of recaps. This is a half an hour of recaps that were actually live little clips that were just there. They drug this out. This, if the J stuff actually progressed it, but everything beyond the J stuff was just like, okay, we want Roman to appear in front of the crowd, but he doesn't want to wrestle. Okay, this is how we do it. We want Jimmy to appear in front of the crowd. He doesn't want to wrestle. Okay, let's put the Usos out. Let's put Cody Rhodes out. Like, I would die to know, why was there, like, what did these guys get for a dark match?
I don't know, but Brad, I think it's time we close this thing down.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Gregory, let's go back through this. Oh boy, I got the angry sound effects ready to go.
Good.
Okay, so Solo talking and being interrupted by his brother. What do you think about that one?
Cutting the hell out of this.
This rebel heart.
Okay, and DIY versus the Street Profits versus Pretty Deadly.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it too. I would keep that all day long. Oh, Gregory. The interaction between Roman, Jimmy, and Jay.
Yeah, nope.
No. Okay, Greg. Piper versus Lash Legend.
No yeet.
No yeet? Oh, I got to get a sound effect for that. So we'll just go with it.
Here's the thing. I liked the match. I really did. I would say no, because I don't need Lash Legend on SmackDown. So I'm cutting it for that purpose.
Roman and Jimmy hanging out in the back doing their shtick.
No yeet.
Okay. Oh. Cody in the Crown Duel stuff.
No yeet.
Greg, no yeeting. Kevin Owens.
Yeet.
All right, let's go with... He was talking about Cody. Randy Orton in the back with Nick Aldis.
No yeet.
The debut of the Motor City Machine Guns in the six-man tag match.
Yeet with an asterisk.
Yeah.
Probably the best match in the show.
Done for the Lash Legend match, too.
Yeah, it was all very good. Oh, Greg. Andrade and Carmelo Hayes in the back.
No yeet.
Naomi and Bayley versus Nia and Candice.
Yeet.
Yeah.
I give it a mild yeah, but it really was a...
Yeah!
Oh, Greg. Okay, so now we are down to last segment. Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa in a who is actually should be acknowledged. Oh my God, why is this still happening?
Oh, yeet.
So, Greg, in 30 seconds or less... Why don't you do a little recap? What should people go back and watch?
All right, Brad. What should you watch this yeet? Let's try that again. What should you watch this week from SmackDown? If you're into the wrestling, watch the wrestling, because there was a lot of filler on this show. There's a lot of talking that you really don't need to see. We did a Tony Khan appreciation tournament in our tag division with three team tag matches. The first one was really fun. We enjoyed that. The Lash Legend and Piper Niven match was pretty good. There were some fun spots in that short match. We got a lot of talking in the middle of the show. We got our second six-man tag match with Motor City Machine Guns debuting versus A Town Down Under and Los Garzas, which was a fun little match as well. And then we've got Nia Jax and Candice LeRae with Bayley and Naomi in a tag match, which was fun. But it was crap at the beginning. There was crap at the end, and there was crap in the middle. But there was a little bit of good wrestling in the middle in this show.
The story of this SmackDown is you can watch the whole thing by just using this button. Facts. Again, I hope that you listen to us first and then watch SmackDown, because we say could save you a lot of time. And I hope that you continue listening to us on the Huge Pop Hub. You can find us on our socials. We are at the SmackDaddies. We are the SmackDaddies.ca and most of the socials. You can find us on, we have a lot of fun with the shorts over there. And you can find us on, we have our website. All that good stuff there is brought to you. We're looking forward to producing more podcasts and a few more things. Check out the Huge Pop Radio Hub. Follow us on your favorite podcatcher. You get things like Story Time with Jimmy. You get live audio wrestling, and you get the main show, and you get the Raw Dogs. So there's all kinds of stuff over there. Guys, there is something else probably big going to happen. And that's all I can say. We have news for you in the future. So follow us on on socials. There'll be something new. And we're creeping, Greg. We're slowly creeping. We had a good start with we had a good start with a bunch of things, but we're slowly creeping up on our number we want to get to. So if you guys would like to follow us on our socials, we will be giving those t-shirts out. So just hold on. We will be following up with that shortly. And Father Greg, any words of wisdom from this week in wrestling?
Nope. I got nothing for you. Head back to camp.
Always watch SmackDown on delay so you can hit the fast forward button.
That's very fair.
All right, guys. We the ones. Good night. Or good morning, or good afternoon, depending on when you're listening.
The revolutionary podcast in sports entertainment. Father Greg and Brad, the dad bless you all with the lovely tales. A Friday night, SmackDown and beyond. Go to the outer limits of your mind with the Smack Daddies.
go to